This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moor Parish in the Hill District and also St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. This morning we have the honor of speaking with one of seven Catholic educators who have received the 2021 Golden Apple Award. It recognizes excellence in the classroom, church, and community. Recipients of the Golden Apple Award are nominated by parents, fellow teachers, and administrators, and are considered to be the best of the best. They go above and beyond teaching not only academics, they also pass along the faith in word and example and help prepare young people for success in life. Each educator receives a monetary prize thanks to the generosity of the Donahue Family Foundation and is being featured in the Pittsburgh Catholic Online at pittsburghcatholic.org. My guest this morning is Darcy Smith, who is a longtime Catholic teacher and a winner of the 2021 Golden Apple Award. Darcy, congratulations and welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you, Father. I'm excited to be here.
And congratulations. That's such a true honor to be awarded the Golden Apple Award. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us here this morning. Now, Darcy, you've taught in Catholic schools for more than two decades. What does it mean to win a Golden Apple Award?
The Golden Apple Award is so prestigious. Years and years ago, when I saw one on a teacher's desk, I knew that that teacher was an excellent teacher, and to receive that award is basically accolations from my parents and God saying that I'm a good teacher and I'm an excellent teacher for my students and for my families. It's sort of that award that all teachers strive to try to reach and get. That's your grasping for that.
So we just saw the festivities in Canton, Ohio last weekend. So you've kind of won the Lombardi Trophy, so to speak, or the Stanley Cup in hockey, or the World Series Championship for teachers in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. That would be equivalent for what a Golden Apple Award means for teachers in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Would you agree?
I do. I think it's like it was on my bucket list of all these years of teaching. That's what you want to accomplish is that Golden Apple. That is that award of excellence, knowing that you make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what an awesome achievement. Congratulations on that again.
Thank
now
you.
We talk about above and beyond, going above and beyond for our students. You saw a need at Archangel Gabriel Catholic School in Robinson for new iPads for your middle school students and raised nearly $50,000 to buy them. How did you do that? That's fantastic.
Yeah, Father, what we did is we had the Nook program where our students had their novels and they could go online, but those Nooks were dying. And so with COVID and everything, we knew that we needed to get our students in this century with the same devices. So I reached out to a lot of people that support Catholic education, fellow alumni families, people that I knew would support, and I prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit and God took over. I believe that it was going to happen because there was a great need, and I was able to raise that money very quickly for our students so
wow.
that they all have the same devices, and as teachers, we would be able to access those devices and so forth. So it just took a little bit of grit, a lot of phone calls. I don't believe in just mailing letter requests. I called every individual that I asked for money, or I visited them to ask for the donation. And I gave them the spiel of how we were in need of that. So it was important. And they all stepped up with the Holy Spirit guiding their hearts.
Wow, you made that personal connection, and I'm sure that made a difference, you know? Yeah. Now, Darcy, how did those iPads make a difference during the pandemic last year?
Well, Father, we had students that were virtual and also in the classroom. As you know, we began school in person, but we had some families that chose to be virtual still. So we taught virtual and in the classroom. So it allowed our students to be on the same page. That was one thing. So they all had the same devices if they were at home or in the classroom. It also allowed us as teachers to, one of our goals was to go as paperless as possible because of the pandemic. So we were able to put our tests and assignments and so forth online. It allows us to keep the parents, open communication with the parents. There were different portals that the parents could see what the students were doing if they had late assignments and so forth. And as teachers, it just made it so much easier for all of us to be on the same device and the same platform.
Now, what are some other special extras that you do for your students?
Well, I also am the forensic coordinator. I do puppet shows where the students we send out a message with gospel values and so forth. So we do puppet shows. I organize a lot of hands-on field trips. We go to the Strip District. This year with COVID, we couldn't go to Washington, D.C., our eighth graders. So I organized an amazing day for them in school as a carnival day, and we had different activities for them. During Catholic Schools Week, I helped organize our virtual career day so that the students still got the experience of meeting people out in the community, but just via Zoom. I also helped the students prepare to be lectors for math. So there's a lot of extras that I do.
And that's why you received the Golden Apple Award. It wasn't just teaching class and then going home, these extras. And there's a lot of, you got a lot of extra credit, so to speak, that you're doing, which is fantastic.
Right.
And all of those things. That's, how do you?
Yes. And I was going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt. I forgot about our service. The sixth, seventh, and eighth graders also do service projects. Now, of course, this year we couldn't do some of the ones that we normally do. The sixth graders usually go to the Coriopolis food pantry, and the seventh graders volunteer at a school, and then the eighth graders go down to the soup kitchen, the Jubilee Soup Kitchen, and help serve food. So, but instead this year we try to incorporate some things, like we collected cereal for the soup kitchen, and we collected so different things throughout this year to still try to do service for the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did you balance your time to do, you know, your regular schoolwork, but all these extra things? How do you do that?
Well, both of my children are grown, so I have a little bit of extra time. So I try to balance that, where it's always for the kids. Everything that I do is for the students, to help them to be well-rounded, not only academically, but within the community and spiritually. And it makes a difference when they're able to give back and do different activities.
Absolutely. Now, your principal wrote in her nominating letter that Darcy expects the best from her students because she expects the best from herself. How do high expectations make a difference in your life?
Well, I've always had high expectations, and my students know that I have high expectations for myself, so they know what I expect from them. I think sometimes if I set those goals for them, and sometimes they don't even realize how high they can go. So I enjoy watching them, because lots of times since I teach middle school, I get to see them grow in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So it's amazing to see that, you know, at the beginning I will say, I know you can do these things. And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, I know you can. So once I see things for them, and I'm like, this is what I know you can do. And lots of times they will reach that, and they'll come back and they'll say, wow, you believed in me when I didn't know I could do that. So that makes a difference I think the higher you set those expectations, they'll go. They strive to meet those because they surprise themselves when they're able to do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in middle school, they don't always have that faith or that confidence, but I always can see it and pull it out of them, if you will.
So you give them that, you build on, you're almost like a life coach. You try to build that self-esteem and look at their gifts and their talents to see what their abilities are. And then you try to open that up, make them grow and blossom.
Yes, that's well put, because usually I can, by the time they're in eighth grade and they leave, it's amazing what, especially like forensics or other things that they're nervous about or they don't think they can do well. And then I have my high school students that'll come back and say, well, thank you for pushing me to do that, because that made a difference when I got to high school. And, I'm able to do really well speaking now in public, or my presentations are much better. So it's great to see them come back and say that, because they're like, you believed in me before I even knew I could do that. And I'm like, yes, I saw that in you. So yeah. I like to try to pull that from them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the fruits of labor. You know, when you see you're working with a student, you do a lot of tender, loving care, you work with them, and then just to see that, hey, thanks, I've done it. Or you get a nice compliment from a parent to say, hey, my child has really grown or has changed over the years. I'm sure that really warms your heart when you hear those positive stories that, okay, I am making a difference. I'm doing my job and I'm doing something positive in this young person's life.
It does. And actually, just this weekend, one of my former students received her white coat at Pitt. And her mother sent me a picture and just a little thank you note about how, because I had her for science and math, and she was just like, you know, very complimentary about that I had sparked that desire for science and so forth in her. And she was very thankful, and she sent pictures, and it does. It warms my heart.
Lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moore Parish in the Hill District, and also St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End, Point Breeze, Homewood, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. And on this Sunday morning, I'm really honored to have one of our 2021 Golden Apple awardees, Dorsey Smith. She's been a longtime Catholic teacher in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Now, Darcy, you grew up in McDonald, PA, Washington County. You earned a degree in psychology from Bethany College and began teaching at St. Agatha's School in Bridgeville. Where else have you taught over the years in the diocese?
I started in St. Agatha's, and then I had my children and I stayed home for a while. When I came back into education, I started substitute teaching in the Catholic schools. And I ended up at St. Joseph's in Coriopolis, and I was there for about 5 years right before it closed. Then I went to Holy Trinity School, which currently had merged with St. Malachy, is now Archangel Gabriel School. Mm-hmm. So I taught there for 13 years. So I've been in the diocese for a long time.
Wow. Okay. Well-rounded. And later you earned a Master's of Education degree from Duquesne University. Experienced teachers know that students learn differently. How do you spot that and then teach them accordingly to recognize that?
Well, I always look at my students as individuals. I always like to go through their records to see, you know, where their weaknesses are or their strengths are. And then I observe my students. And then I identify where I feel like their strengths are and their weaknesses. And then I help to grow and foster those other skills that they need. I do a lot of hands-on, a lot of group work, and I try to tunnel into giving them, lots of times in middle school, a lot of what they need is confidence, because those are those kind of strange years that they're not sure of themselves. So one thing that I like to really build up is their confidence, and I always want them to, even if they feel like they're not a great math student or an English student, I still feel like they need to know that they can still do that, not to have that negativity. So it's always good to keep positive. One of my sayings that I always say is be a positive pineapple and fully rely on God, my frog. So these are things that the kids know that I try to give them to always be positive. And I use a lot of growth mindset, like I can't do it yet. So growth mindset is always something good to use to help them grow in areas too. So that helps me to give that positivity back to them so that they can succeed.
I like that frog, fully rely on God. I've used that in several homilies. And when I was my first assignment at the former St. Alphonsus in Wexford, I had a little stuffed animal frog that I used as a prop in one of my homilies. In 20 years as a priest, do you know people still remember that? And so
yes.
Positive sayings. And my motto since I was in the seminary is, with God, all things are possible. And I just think this positive little slogans, so to speak, that's what I try to do every day is, you know, be positive and live out your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my students, lots of times they know that those positive pineapples, the frogs, so sometimes they'll paint me a picture or they'll buy me a trinket or something to sit on my desk that's a positive pineapple, and they use that, and they remember that for years.
It's a visual. Yeah, it's a visual, catchy little phrase that, you know, and it they remember it. That's the key thing, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Now, Darcy, you said that teaching is not a job, but it's a calling. And I truly believe that. Describe the difference.
Well, a job is something you get up and you do, and, you know, then you go about your business. But, like, to me, teaching is a calling in the fact that I know that God has put me in the Catholic school. Even in my essay when I wrote it, you know, I taught in a Catholic school, but when we moved to Georgia for a short time, I taught in a public school, and it just wasn't the same because I wasn't able to teach my children about God and make them well-rounded spiritually and so forth. So when, you know, I came back to Pennsylvania, I went back into the Catholic school, not the public school, because I feel like that is my calling to help inspire the children and help them grow spiritually. I do a lot of journaling in my religion classes. I do a lot of, they write their own prayers each 9 weeks. Each of the kids do. They lead in prayer. I think it's really important to teach them to and strengthen that relationship with God so that they can take that with them, especially with I teach eighth grade, so they make their confirmation. So it's important to guide them and help them to have an adult relationship with God versus, you know, as they move forward.
Now, right before.
So to me, it's a calling to be able to teach my faith and to model my faith for my
it's
children.
It's not just, you know, I punch a clock, work 7 to 3 or 9 to, you know, 8 to 4, 9 to 5. It's you live it out each day. It's just not.
Right.
I'm putting my time in and collecting a paycheck, and then I go home. There's a difference there. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, right before we broke at the last segment, you mentioned about a former student receiving, you know, in medical school, their white lab coat, and how, you know, I'm sure that you've kept in touch with many of your graduates over the years. And what's most gratifying when you learn about how they're doing and you hear these wonderful success stories?
I always get teary-eyed. I run into my former students all over the place. Sometimes they're working, sometimes, you know, but it's amazing because they know they're like my kids. When I always tell them, when they come into my classroom, they're my children for the 3 years that I have them. And they also sort of say, you know, I'm like their pseudo mom. So when I hear from them via email, sometimes I'll get cards or letters. It's always wonderful to hear them say, you know, I'm using this that you taught me, or you were right about this, and I'm so glad you shared that with me. That made a difference. So that's so, so fulfilling, and that's why I do what I do every day, because it makes a difference. And like in my video, I truly believe receiving the golden apple and everything that has happened this past summer is God saying that, you know, I make a difference as a Catholic school teacher, and to keep doing it.
Makes a difference. Now, we just have about 2 minutes left. One final question before we conclude. For parents who are on the fence about whether a Catholic education is worth the investment, What would you say to them this morning as they tune in?
I would say it is definitely worth the investment. I have, you know, seen students that I've taught that have gone to public school and like left the Catholic school, and how lots of times they come back because they see the difference. A Catholic education, we are fostering their growth spiritually, their academics, their social. We're making a well-rounded student and a well-rounded young adults that are rooted in their faith, that can go out and make a difference in their communities and make a difference to society. And I think it makes a big difference, being that we're able to guide them spiritually and give them that extra leg to stand on when the world is so different nowadays.
Yeah. And, you know, just in the last year with the pandemic and then how schools had to shift, you know, with online learning, and then the Catholic schools in the Diocese of Pittsburgh reopened and in person, and parents craved that. They craved that in-person learning versus staying at home. And teachers like you, who go way beyond the call of duty, so to speak, to do that, just remarkable. So I want to personally thank you for what you have done over the last several years, and receiving the Golden Apple Award this year, well-deserved, and all of your extra curricular activities and things that you do, you've really made a difference. And you can really see that in here, in our segment today, that you really love what you're doing, that it's just not a job. It's definitely a call of duty. So I want to thank you for your service and congratulations. Darcy Smith, the 2021 Golden Apple Awardee and a longtime teacher in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Father.
We'll be back in a moment with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. We take a break from reading what we call in John's Gospel, the sixth chapter, the Bread of Life Discourse, which we have been reading on Sundays the last several weeks. Today, we celebrate the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. And we look to Our Lady as a model of how faithfully to live our daily lives with hope in God's eternal mercy. Considered to be the first disciple, Mary shows us what it means to bring the love of Christ into this world, and discipleship calls us to live according to the Word of God. Mary's assumption is a sign of a source of hope for us. In the Gospel today, we read the Visitation, when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth. St. John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb at the Visitation, and we read about two exceptional women, both pregnant with what will become very exceptional sons. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, which bestows the authority on her prophetic utterance described by Elizabeth, and Mary recites the beautiful Magnificat prayer. God assumed her body into heaven, where she now enjoys the full union with the Lord. And while it's not in Scripture, Mary's bodily assumption into heaven is an ancient church belief. And Mary's assumption points to the fullness of what begins. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus here on KDK Radio.